I have watched over the last about week and a half now as the gym, we have a gym right over here in this next building, as the gym there has been transformed. So the usual use for the gym is with neighborhood ministries and youth activities and some men's basketball leagues that play. I know Vacation Bible School does some different activities and sports and things in the gym. That's the usual use of the gym. But who knew that a gym could be a food flood bucket, diaper collecting and giveaway station, right? But that is what has happened to it in the last week. I'm thinking we may need to call those at Webster Dictionary and have another definition added into that of the gym and just say that this is what a gym could be. We could make it into this kind of facility. It's been a beautiful thing. And I've excitedly walked into that place over and over again in the past week and a half, watching that food and the supplies just funnel in. And really, they just flooded in. And that's the kind of flood that I like to see and be a part of. People almost running into each other as they've been going in and out the doors. And as cars have lined up out there in the parking lot and opening their trunks and ready to just to give to those who are in need, to give to strangers, to give to someone else. I happened to be walking by at just the right time one evening this past week as I was getting ready to go into a meeting, and someone was making a delivery from Gainesville. So they had their truck and their trailer loaded from Gainesville. We unloaded it, and the next morning it got loaded into a U-Haul to take to Bonita Springs. And I was like, this is just this beautiful picture of the connection at work together. And that's who we are as United Methodists. We're this connectional church that we work together. We're not siloed churches on our own, but we are all in this life, this walk with Christ together, living in community. In Luke 4, Jesus quotes from the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter there. In the first two verses, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then it goes on in Isaiah to say this to those people and to us: to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That puts words to what I have been seeing over the past week and a half: beauty instead of ashes. That oil of joy instead of despair, and instead of mourning. It will still take some time for it to come to completion, but this is what's been started. In the midst of devastation and fear and anxiety and overload and exhaustion, instead there are these gifts of care and respite and compassion and grace. Love being given. At the end of the day, Wednesday, so much more has happened, but at the end of the day, Wednesday, 707 bags of food had been given out, 341 flood buckets, and 211 hygiene kits had come into this place and left this place. So not only was the gym transformed, but people's lives have been transformed as we've been able to be there in the midst with them, loving them. You've seen similar things over the last week and a half. This has just been my experience, what I've seen. So what have you seen? Have you been in places and spaces where you've seen God's love in the last couple weeks being acted out and shown? Anyone? Neighbors helping neighbors. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Right, so that takes a lot of volunteers and a lot of people willing to listen and to take notes and to see what the need is, right, at the call center at our conference office here in Lakeland. Others? Yes.
Volunteers in North Lakeland feeding families in the Green Swamp that couldn't get out for a week.
So they couldn't get out of the area that their home was even in.
Mm-hmm. And they took swamp buggies in with hot food.
So swamp buggies with hot food. Beautiful. Beautiful the way that God gives us the opportunity to love each other. Love. Love of others is vital. It's key. It's a key component to who we are as followers of Jesus. Our sermon series is called Living a Life of Significance. We live a life of significance when we love. It's that simple and yet that complex. As far back as Leviticus 19:18, when the laws were given to the Israelites, we find the words, love your neighbor as yourself. When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus responded with this, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Then in James, the book we are studying through in this sermon series, he says, if you really keep the royal law found in scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. James gives some specific ways in which we can do this, some behaviors to take on that should be part of our everyday lives that give us the opportunity to love. James can be tough to read and to hear sometimes, but he lets us know what it means to be a follower. And so we are going to spend some time looking at these. And the first few are in this grouping found in James 1, beginning in 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Quick to listen, he tells us. This seems like this should be an easy task, but it can sometimes be difficult to live out. It's especially challenging in our quick-moving world because it causes us to think that we should be on the move all the time from one task to the other, on the go, with our schedules packed. It doesn't leave room for us to listen to anything other than what we've got planned. This mentality and this way of living doesn't give room to be with others. You see, listening is being present, being there for someone, and just being with them. But the reality is, it's not just being with them. You see, being with someone is powerful. They feel important. They know that they are loved. So listening requires us to stop what we are doing and to give someone our full time and attention. Listening is relational. It gives us the opportunity to know someone, to really know them and to understand them. It gives us the opportunity to know people's stories, their ups and their downs, their mountaintops and their valleys, their needs. One of the things that I really appreciated that happened this past week was because someone was willing to listen. We were taking food out to the migrant ministry in Mulberry. That was one of the places that we had connected with. And they needed food, but the reality is that they eat food that is different than the food that I put on my table at night, and maybe that you put on your table. So we listened. We listened to the foods that are a normal part of their everyday cooking and eating. And we revised the list for them a bit because their need was heard. But you have to be willing to listen, not just come with assumptions and ideas and notions already decided. Listening is important to do in mission work and loving people because it gives the opportunity for them to be heard. Along with being quick to listen, James tells us to be slow to speak. The fact that we have the response ready to go, but to keep from responding and instead listen. Later on in chapter 1, James says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I mean, we want to be heard, right? We have opinions, we have knowledge, we have our own stories to tell. But he says, be slow to speak. Let there be silence. Let there be that space presence to offer the gift that we have. When we allow ourselves the time and the ability to be slow to speak, we give God then time. God time to intervene and to share with us and to lead us in a direction where he might want us to go. And then James says in this list of three, to be slow to anger. Anger usually causes us to be ready to jump in. But that's when anger then leads us in a direction that is not where God necessarily wants us to go. We've heard it before, right? Take a deep breath. Cool down. Don't do or say anything you might regret later. We've heard it said, maybe we've said it before. To be slow to anger, not caving to the power of the emotion, but instead giving that space and time to God to bring a sense of peace and gentleness. Therefore, James says, get rid of all moral filth and evil. I know we were all hoping we'd just skip right over that one. Or maybe it was the anger or the listening one we all hoped we'd skip over. I'm telling you, James is tough. But instead, we should confess our sin, cast it aside, take it off, be done with it. The reality is we're sinners, but the good news is there's Jesus. And because of Jesus, we're forgiven. So the moral filth and the evil, you see, it's self-centered. And therefore, it keeps us focused on ourselves when we should be focused on others. It keeps us from seeing the need. It keeps us from the ability to love. It keeps us from knowing God and his will from our lives and the will for the life of the world. It keeps us distracted and even unaware. It keeps us from living a life of significance. So get rid of all that, James says. Instead, accept the word of God. And in that, he goes on to give like a little a picture story for us in the midst of his things to do and not do. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting that they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Looking in the mirror is probably an everyday occurrence for us, maybe multiple times a day. I know that sometimes people question that of me last week when I had no electricity and was not looking so good. But I did look in the mirror. But we look in the mirror all the time, don't we? But we don't look in the mirror and then just walk away and forget what we look like, having to look in the mirror all the time. I mean, we know what we look like when we walk away from the mirror. So why would we think that we can read the Word of God and walk away from it and act like we don't know what we just read and what God has just said to us? It seems like a strange thing. But so often we do that. Listen to the Word of God and then not do it. One of the things I've come to know is the more time that I spend studying the Bible, then the more accountable I am to do what it says. Because if I know it, if I know what I'm supposed to do, then I'm supposed to do it. So it could be a very dangerous thing to study the Bible in all of reality. But we are to be into the Word. We are to accept that Word of God and to live into it, into the freedom that it gives us to love others as ourselves. As I've been processing the storm and what it means to be getting back to normal, anyone figured out what that is yet? The reality is, for me, and I hope for all of us, that I have a new normal. One of the things the storm did for me is it gave me this opportunity to go and meet new people. It gave me an opportunity to go into places of Lakeland that I had never been before and to meet people I had never met before. And honestly, people that I just wasn't going to meet sitting inside the four walls of my office, which is what I spend and maybe we all spend doing most of our lives. But I don't want to go back to business as usual, not being aware of those neighborhoods, not being aware of those people, not being aware of the needs that are right around me. Because it's not only in the storms, it's not only during hurricanes that the need is there, but it's there day in and day out. So I want to continue these relationships with the people that God has given me this opportunity to meet. It's reading the Word of God, being directed by it, and then doing it and putting it into action. You might think the list is long enough now. We've got a pretty good list that's been going. But James continues on in this chapter with another statement, continuing to guide us in this way of living, loving our neighbor. He says, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You see, God has this special place in his heart for these two groups of people. It's throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. We are to care for the orphans and the widows. You see, the least of these, they matter to God. So they are then, therefore, to matter to us. It's so easy to get caught up in our own little world, to only spend time with those who look like us and act like us, think like us. So James advises us in this next statement. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show a special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand there, sit on the floor by my feet, you have not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Oh, how we would like to think that we would never do that, right? We'd never show favoritism. We'd never discriminate. We'd never give someone a seat and leave someone else aside. But if we honestly asked ourselves, if we did, might we make note of some of those places and spaces in life? I mean, who do we spend our time with? Who do we invite over for dinner? Who do we go to lunch with? Who do we engage in conversation with? Who do we give our attention to? And it tends to be people like ourselves. And maybe in doing that, we can fall into a place of showing favoritism over the rich rather than the poor. But Jesus modeled for us how to live this way. All those that were shunned by the Pharisees and the teachers of law, who were the churchgoers of his time, he spent time with. He ate with sinners and tax collectors. He allowed women to listen to him and to learn from him. He blessed the children and he touched the lepers. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, to live what he's called the royal law. In times of crisis and in the storm, and every other day of life. For God, you see, he has all this love that he wants to give to the world, and he wants to give it to them through you and me, so that the entire world might know that they are loved, that they would have the opportunity to live the life abundant and life eternal. James can be tough. He gives us a lot of things that we should do and how to live. That we're not just We can't just come here on Sunday mornings and enjoy our church life of worship, hear the word of God, and then walk out unchanged. Walk out not doing what we've heard in that word. Can you put that list back up on the screen? So here's the list that he gives us in today's scriptures. To be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, get rid of moral filth and evil, accept the word of God, look after orphans and widows, and do not show favoritism. So I just want you to think for a moment. I'm going to give you space. I'm going to be slow to speak for just a few minutes. I want you to look at this list and pray through this list and see how God might be leading you in this next week. Who is it that you need to listen to? When is it that you might need to be slow to speak? Is there someone or something that's just been making you angry? So you might need to become slow to anger. Is there a sin that you just continue to hold on to? Let it go. Get rid of moral filth and evil. Instead, accept the word of God. Hear it and do it. Is there an orphan? Is there a widow in distress that you know, or maybe you need to go find one, meet one? Is there a place in life that you're showing favoritism? Lord God, we open ourselves in this moment to your leading and your guiding through this list that James has given to us so that we might follow the royal law and love others as we love ourselves. Let us be willing for the Holy Spirit to convict us. Let us be willing to be obedient. Let us be willing to hear your word and to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So for me, as I've been studying this passage, it boils down to these words from John Wesley. It says, do all the good that you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times that you can, to all the people that you can, as long as ever you can. And you can. You can with the guidance of God. Go from this place and be doers of the word. Doers of the word that tells you just how much God loves you. And just how much he loves the world. So go from this place and love the world as God loves the world. Go in his grace and his peace. Amen.